Welcome to Ask the Pastor. I'm your host, Blake Gideon, Senior Pastor of Edmonds First Baptist Church. Well, we only have one question for today, but it's a lengthy question, and, well, let me just read it to you. It's really based upon a misunderstanding of a podcast that I taught on earlier, and so I want to clarify this misunderstanding. So this person, and by the way, I don't know who sends the questions in, so whoever sent this question in, I don't know who you are, so don't think I'm picking on you. But let me go ahead and read the question. This person says, I seen your video, or I should say I saw your video, and was shocked to hear some of your comments on a question you answered. I am referring to the Trinity, for there are many scriptures that relate to this topic. Jesus Christ himself had the Spirit of God in him. Yes, I agree. There he was, just God in the flesh. Yes, he is the only one that can manifest three in one. That is what makes him God. Okay? He's the only one who can manifest three in one. Well, I would say that Jesus is not the Father. That's actually a heretical idea. Jesus is not the Father. He is God, but he's not the Father. So perhaps you need to clarify that because it seems a little heretical. Jesus is the only one who can manifest three in one. Well, Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. He is God in human flesh, but he is not the Father, and he is not the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord dwells in Christ, but Christ is not the Spirit. So I would say you need to be very careful with that sentence. There's one God. Let me just be clear. There's one God who manifests himself in three persons. Each of the persons are equal in essence. Each person is fully God. But the Father is not the Son. And the Son is not the Father. The Spirit is not the Father. The Father is not the Spirit. The Son is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Son. So one God, three persons, all equal in essence, but yet with three distinct roles. Each is their own person. That is the biblical view of the Trinity, the biblical teaching of the Trinity. I have a book that I've written on this called What Baptists Believe and Why They Believe It, where I go into more detail concerning these three things and the doctrine of the Trinity. You can contact our church and we'd be more than happy to send you a copy of that. You go on to write, that is what makes him God. In saying that many other scriptures say that that same Spirit, and I'm just reading this word for word as this person wrote it. In saying that many other scriptures say that same Spirit can remain in us if we abide in him, he also with us. So if we are body and soul, when he abides in us, in that moment we are also Spirit. So as the Word of God says, we should all walk in the Spirit, just not boast while doing so. For any gift or talent we display comes directly from God himself. Boast in him as this were confidence. Okay, I'm just going to answer your question. Let me just say that I think, and I want to be kind when I say this. You said that you're shocked by some of my comments. I do believe that the reason you're shocked is because you lack a proper understanding of theology. Okay? First of all, the podcast that you are referring to was not a podcast on the Trinity. It was a podcast on the doctrine of man. We talked about dichotomy versus trichotomy, or bipartite versus tripartite. The issue was, is man body, soul, and spirit, or is man body and soul and spirit are used interchangeably? Then the question was asked, if we are tripartite, if we are body, soul, and spirit, is it okay to use that as an illustration for the Trinity? So the podcast was not on the Trinity. The podcast was on the doctrine of man. We looked at dichotomy versus trichotomy. I walked through the scriptures. I was very honest. I talked about the scriptures that refer to us being tripartite. And then I also looked at the scriptures that supported us being bipartite, or use the doctrines for trichotomy and the verses for trichotomy and the verses for dichotomy. Now, you have to understand, in that podcast, we're talking about how God created man. We're not talking about man's salvation. We're talking about how God created man in Genesis 1. That's why we went all the way back to Genesis. Did God create man as body, soul, and spirit? Or did God create man as body and soul, and spirit is used interchangeably? We're not talking about the Holy Spirit. I wasn't talking about the Holy Spirit in that podcast. So this is a theological misunderstanding that you have on your end. So I left, what I came down to is what I believe is, especially if you look at Genesis, where God created man, he created him from the dust of the earth, body, and he breathed life into him, soul. That's how we see God created man, body and soul. And then when we get to the Gospel of John, John uses the Greek words, the Greek word pneuma, and the Greek word psyche, which is spirit and soul. He uses them interchangeably. Okay? Sometimes he says psyche, sometimes he says pneuma, and so he uses them interchangeably. John the apostle saw those as synonymous with one another. So I came to the conclusion that mankind, created by God in Genesis, was created as a bipartite being, which supports the doctrine of dichotomy. Now, of course, after man gets saved and trusts in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he is filled with the Spirit. But that's not what we were referring to. We weren't referring to the Holy Spirit. We were referring just to, if you'll lack for better terms, a general spirit in man. Was man created with body, soul, and spirit? Not the Holy Spirit, but a general spiritual being. I say, no, man was created body and soul. And then when he trusts in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he's filled with the Spirit. But that doesn't negate the fact that he's still a bipartite being who has now been filled with the Spirit of God. So I hope that brings clarity to what I was actually talking about. I think if you'll go back to that podcast and listen from that standpoint, you'll get a better understanding of where I was coming from. But nevertheless, I thank you for your question. And if you had confusion about it, I would rather you reach out and talk to me. But I would rather you not say you're shocked by my answer when you really didn't understand it to begin with. Anyway, God bless you. Thank you for your questions today. Send them in next week, and I'll look forward to answering more.